Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day.
Get a sound check.
Aha! Hit the drop!
I pop off when I hear people say I cannot. I get off to the thought of proving everyone wrong.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What was Gruden thinking?
If you don't know what to do, you won't play here.
Knock on wood if you're with me, okay?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What was Gruden thinking? Are you kidding me? How do you turn that down? What are you thinking?
Earlier on the show, Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian, Saints defensive end Cameron Jordan. Coming up, actor and former NFL running back Thomas Q. Jones. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show here on this terrestrial radio outfit coast to coast on the Rich Eisen Show Network. Thanks to our friends at Westwood One, Cumulus Podcast Network. We say hello to everybody who's listening to us on our podcast whenever you darn well please, listening live on Odyssey and, of course, right here on YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show, our television home, temp home for the moment. We will start streaming on Roku starting in September. It is free on the Roku channel, which is available on all Roku devices. If you don't have a Roku device, there is your Samsung Smart TV. If you don't have a Samsung Smart TV, there's Amazon Fire TV. If you don't have any of those above, there is the Roku app on your mobile phone. Roku channel is free there on your mobile device. And if you somehow, some way, don't have a mobile device, who are you? Okay.
Flip phone.
Okay. Well, you can even get that too on the RokuChannel.com. You got the internet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The RokuChannel.com. Free there. The keyword is free on the Rich Eisen Show. Hour number
squad
three
goals.
Here. Thank you. Squad goals indeed. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. Hour
hey,
number three.
Rich, what's happening?
Jason Feller, how are
hey,
you, sir?
Yeah, I'm well. How
good
are
to
you?
See you. TJ Jefferson, how are you, sir?
I mean, you know.
Okay. So that sounded like the new Brooklyn Nets slogan for 2022-2023.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
That's it.
Yeah, sure.
That's it. Bobby Cannavale is going to be right there in Brooklyn where he lives.
Right. He's probably got courtside.
Oh,
seats.
Yeah. Well, no, he's a Knicks fan.
Oh, okay.
He's not going. I bet you he's still going across the East River to
That's
go watch
hike.
His basketball. Because if you show up at the Nets games, you know, I think Dolan's Kevins will notice that sort of thing and
not let you in the side door at the garden.
Suddenly, yeah, well, yeah, suddenly you got to go around the front, just like everybody else. And you know, it's kind of crazy what's happening in this mixed up world where people are drinking beers through hot dogs that they hollow out with a straw. But is it possible? Is it possible that the NBA is no longer the league in which you get traded the minute you ask for a trade, but the NFL is? What about that? How about that? Devontae Adams says, I want out, and the Packers oblige him. Tyreek Hill says, I want out, and the Chiefs oblige him. This is a league where it was always, yeah, right. Pull out something called a contract and look at your signature on the bottom line, and we'll see you in training camp, sir. The NFL is sending receivers where they want to go. You want to go to Vegas? Play with your old school friend? Your
sure.
boy Blue from Fresno? You want to do that? Here you go. Tyreek. Jets or Dolphins? Yeah, we understand.
That's crazy.
You're going to Miami. And in the NBA, Kevin Durant's like, I'd like out, please. And they're like, no. They take 54 days to say it. From June 30th all the way to yesterday. And confirmed it today. They met in Los Angeles. They being the coach and general manager, Steve Nash and Sean Marks, who Durant apparently said needed to go for him to stay. And the owner, Joe Tsai, and his wife were there as well. The owner who said, I'm sticking with my coach and general manager after the news popped out that Durant had told the team, the terms in which he would return required them to get a new coach and general manager. And they've agreed to move forward with our partnership. They call it a partnership. They're not like he's going to play basketball for us. And sure enough, his logo of his production company is at the bottom. What do you think?
Well, I mean,
we're going to see the Seth Curry show on the boardroom. We're going to see.
TJ Warren and Royce O'Neal.
Yeah, eight crazy nights with Royce O'Neal behind the scenes. Right? Steve Nash doesn't have a spot in the boardroom, let's be honest.
Steve Nash is probably...
I don't know, and that's the thing. Every single day we're going to be watching the Nets basketball game, Sam. What's the body language? What's happening? Does Durant like it? Does Kyrie like it? Is Ben Simmons in their text chain?
Oh, here we go.
Honestly, it's kind of crazy, isn't it? Because Durant was told no. They told Durant no. And they held on to him. Like Beauty and the Beast, right? They put him in the library till he came around.
Right.
And the rose is blooming.
All right, so title odds.
He's the beauty, the Nets are the beast.
Title odds have shifted. Like I said yesterday, you could get him at anywhere from 16 to 18 to 1. They're now 7 to 1.
There you go. How are those people with the 18 to 1 tickets feeling right now?
I wish I was one of them.
You would never have done that at 18 to 1 anyway. You know it.
I'm not a big futures guy, but yeah.
Well, you're about the here and now, are you?
Celtics are still the
preseason favorite.
Preseason?
That's the here and now? Preseason football? That's the here and now that you game?
That's what's in front of me.
Got it.
Celtics 5 to 1. Warriors 6 to 1. Bucks 13 to 2. Nets and Clippers 7 to 1.
All right, babe.
How you feel about that, TJ? Sixers
Nets
14
and
to 1.
How about that? How about the Nets and the Clippers now having the same odds to win it all?
Well, I mean, Kawhi.
Which is more? Well, hold on a minute. Whoa. Which is more of the proverbial crapshoot? Nets or Clippers?
Whew, baby. Clippers.
Don't you think? Because.
Yes.
Yeah.
Health always a factor.
Right?
I mean,
who knows with Kawhi, right?
I've gone over many times the Clipper curse and gave you full-on instances where things have just randomly gone wrong.
Because you don't know. Like, Kawhi's not sending out those videos of him grinding.
You're not following the right.
Okay, so
Kawhi's looking jacked right now.
Okay, where have we seen Kawhi?
You got to go.
Because I'm not looking.
You got to look on Clippers Twitter, Clippers Instagram.
Okay. He looks good.
Oh yeah, man.
He's had an apple a day.
He's ready.
I'll tell you what, sneaky good odds here, good value. Lakers 18 to 1. Just on a total dice roll.
Because that's the next shoe to drop, right? What happens with Russ?
I think so.
Nothing happens with Russ. Okay.
But it seemed like their trade partner was Brooklyn. And now that they're bringing everybody back. So who takes him?
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Speaking of spending your money where it should be spent, who wants to buy the Angels? Anybody? You want to pull together some money?
I got five on it.
You buy the Los Angeles Angels?
I still owe TJ 20, so I don't know if I'm out.
I'm Artie Moreno, the owner of the Angels, has said, he put out an announcement, he's initiated a formal process to evaluate strategic alternatives, including a possible sale of the team. That's the lead item in the paragraph. In other words, he's thinking of selling.
That's a lot of words to just be like, hey, I'm thinking about.
Who wants Trout and Ohtani? Who wants to buy Trout and Ohtani?
Well, I mean,
spot right down a world from right down the lane from Disneyland, right around Knott's Berry Farm. You can, you know, what anybody?
They close the Hooters next door.
Anybody?
Sadly.
Anybody what? want a rally monkey? Anybody want one of them?
You need guarantees that Ohtani and Trout aren't going to ask for a trade before you make this purchase.
Why would they ask for a Trout? Why would Trout ask for a trade?
Because they don't ever win.
Guess what? He's not getting one. He's staying put. You're going to get Trout and Ohtani.
I don't know about
you're going to get Trout and Ohtani.
I don't know.
You're getting Trout and Ohtani.
What if Trout says, I want to go home and play for my hometown team, the Phillies?
Good. You've got a contract here with the new partnership.
I think.
You meet in Los Angeles and you create a partnership and work for the Nets.
I don't believe Ohtani's going to be there 2 years from now.
Well, then I guess that's part of the process. You better sell him fast. Here's what Artie, look, man, I know he's a very successful man, Artie Moreno, but he made a mistake already.
Wow.
In helping explore the possible sale of the team, he's hired something called Gala Toyota Sports Partners.
Right. We're sitting
in your own back. Our show used to be on your radio station,
right,
Artie.
We had billboards in Angel Stadium.
We did for many years.
For a while.
So, we're sitting right here, RES Consulting. We could do this for you.
And we're cheap, too.
We're here.
Inexpensive.
Inexpensive is the word.
Inexpensive. We're inexpensive.
Please.
Inexpensive. Got it. Well, sometimes you got to use the language of the people, guys.
All right. We are the ones who can help you find the right partners. We are the ones with the ideas. We are the ones who look at people.
People helping people.
And help them.
So according to Forbes, Angels.
We could do it.
Ninth highest Major League Baseball team, $2.2 billion valuation in March.
First order of business I would do if I bought the Angels would call them the California Angels right away. Yeah, nobody up here in Los Angeles considers Anaheim and the great people of Orange County Los Angelinos. Not at all. And I don't know what that means. I have no idea if it was a business deal that somebody said, if you call yourself Los Angeles, I'm in.
Los Angeles Angels.
It's
too long.
It has so many different names.
It's insanely far away. You know, and as the crow flies, it might be close. There ain't no crow flying when you're on the 405.
Or down the 5.
All right. That ain't happening. And then I'd put them in the old Brian Downing, Don Baylor Angels uniforms.
Yeah,
absolutely. Right back. Right
with
back.
The A, with
old
the halo,
school. With the
gray,
A and the halo. Right away.
Angels on the chest.
Yes. Yes.
Like the old school CA hat.
Correct. Yeah. Like where Gene Autry. Bring back the whole Gene Autry aspect of it. Bring it all back. That's what I would do. The problem is I don't know if that helps you win games.
Well.
Might fill up the stadium.
I don't know. But clearly, I'm wondering Angels fans are like, get out, man.
38 miles.
I know you paid some money for Trout, and I know you paid money for Ohtani, and I know you paid money for Rendon, but just enough's enough. We're done. We need new ownership. They have a seance. Get rid of everything else.
The sage? Bring the sage?
Kyrie. Smudge the stadium.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I should be saying this stuff before I step in there with my family on Monday night.
I like going down there. It's a nice
it's
ballpark.
It's a very nice ballpark. They like the rocks. Cooper's already talked about that
cool.
He can't wait for the fireworks until I told him, you know, that means the Angels have homered. We don't want to see those.
They're playing the Yankees or the Sox when you
please.
Well, I don't know if Susie's take. I mean, I don't know.
No,
the Sox have already been here. They're playing the Yankees.
Okay. As you know, I have I had one preemptory in my household choosing the jury.
You gave her football.
Well, I mean, if Brady's a Michigan man. She's a Patriot fan. Brady's winning championships. For me to say you must root for the Jets, child services would have knocked on the door to take my children away from us.
Facts.
Okay. Right? And as you know, the Dolan wormhole removed the Knicks from the equation. And I actually enjoyed watching the Celtics this year. Words I never thought would come out of my mouth.
They're a fun team.
Okay. But the Red Sox, no sir. No bueno. We're going down to see the Yankees and Aaron Judge, everybody. Who hit home run number 47.
He hadn't homered in 9 games.
It had been. You know who's...
He fell off the pace a little
and
bit.
And let's just bring this all full circle here. Albert Pujols is a freaking revelation.
Yeah.
And he's already said he's not playing again.
So he's got to get the 700.
Well, the way he's been hitting the last 2 weeks.
He'll have 700 tonight. He'll have a 7 home run game.
Is he 693 right now, I believe?
He got a 693 last night. I believe it was his 30th career home run in Wrigley.
Wow. He's been killing lefties.
I believe he's now got 40. I think he's set a record or tied a record for the number of different pitchers he's homered off against. He's unbelievable. Yeah. And he's playing first. He's not just sitting there in the dugout.
Yeah, not DH.
He made an incredible dig out of a ball that Tommy Edman threw from short right center field last night. He's playing like he's hit the fountain of youth. And it was
well,
all in support.
Youth and him are in the same sentence.
It's you're right. It's in all in support of the new Cy Young Award winner Jordan Montgomery, who the Yankees dumped on the Cardinals, and all he's done is win 4 games and a one-hit shutout last night in Chicago.
Who Who's going to be the Yahoo in 5 years to not vote Pujols into the Hall of Fame?
There's going to be one.
Yeah, at least.
But I hope he sticks around one more year.
Well, if he gets 700, there's no reason.
Well, he could pass the Babe next year. I would play one more year to pass the Babe.
He's
Why not?
Playing, I mean, and he's a revelation. Cooper and I picked him up in fantasy.
You did?
Yes.
Have you been playing him the last 2 weeks?
No, we just picked him up last night.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, you know, the horse might be out of the barn, yeah. Coop. But he's like, let's do it.
Yeah.
So, amazing.
He's 14 home runs this year.
He's been terrific, and he's going to play in the playoffs.
Crazy.
Behind game 1, 4, and 7 starter Jordan Montgomery. Good God. Yankees traded for a center fielder who's not playing because he's hurt. At least Benintendi's beginning to rake. But at any rate, the Yankees are the team that has a fan who's drinking a beer through a hot dog straw. I mean, what the hell, man?
Last bit of baseball news. Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to talk to the media this afternoon.
Oh, he will.
So we'll see what he has to say about everything that's going on with him.
Okay. And if he says anything over the next 40 minutes, we'll turn that around, as they say in the business. If not, we'll play it tomorrow. But let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to see Thomas Q. Jones here in the Rich Eisen Show studio. Won't that be fun?
Love it.
Love chatting with him. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, one of the stars of Johnson, which can be seen on Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern on Bounce, Season 2. Also, Encores, the next day streaming on Brown Sugar, one of the lead actors and co-executive producers, but the only one part of the operation with 10,000 career rushing yards in the National Football League, is Thomas Q. Jones. Good to see you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
But how are you enjoying it?
Oh, man.
You must be loving this.
It's incredible. It's been an incredible transition. I know I've been here a few times before.
Yes.
Especially when I first started taking this very seriously, acting in Hollywood. I think it was 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And from that time until I think the second time I was here was when I was actually cast for Luke Cage.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my own film, A Violent Man, that was out. And so now, you know, I have my own TV series out that I'm executive producer on. I'm one of the showrunners as well as one of the lead actors. I've just really grown a lot as an actor. I've grown a lot as a producer. A lot more experienced. I've been fortunate enough to work in some really great environments around some incredible actors and also on some pretty influential projects. And now I'm in the space where I want to create my own content. And Johnson's the first show out the box.
And it's Season 2 also, Thomas Q. Jones. Well done.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not easy. Getting one on the air, period, and then getting a second season as well. That is not simple to
do. Yeah, it's tough because no matter how good your content is in your mind, you know, it still has to be good and quality to the viewers because it's still a numbers game, just like the NFL. It's still a numbers game. So viewership in Season 1 was incredible. We broke a lot of records at Bounce TV. That's the network that the show airs on in Season 1. And like I said, Season 2 has been even better. The responses, the feedback has been incredible. The numbers are continually going up every week. So it's been an incredible journey as a showrunner. I like the fact that I'm in a position of not necessarily control, but I'm able to be behind the scenes and use a lot of the qualities and characteristics that I use as an NFL player now as a leader, you know, in show business. So it was a seamless transition for me, and being a showrunner and executive producer of my own show is like a dream.
So since you're bringing up football and entertainment and making TV shows together, I'm going to put you on the spot with this question, Thomas Q. Jones. Okay. Who can you tell is lying to you the most, a football coach or a television executive?
Oh. That's actually a pretty easy question.
Okay.
Oh.
Television executive.
No, we love the idea. Let us think about it. We're going to circle back.
Right. And then they circle back with their own version of your show.
Great idea. We love it. I just want to talk to everyone. We'll circle back.
Yeah.
The circling back. You hear a lot of circle back.
Yeah. Right? You, sometimes circling back is with your show idea, just with other people. So, yeah, I would definitely say a television executive.
More than a football coach.
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, a football coach can't lie to you because if he's not keeping it 100% honest with you, he's going to potentially lose his job, too, if you continue to mess up.
Yes.
So his job is on the line just like yours is. Your production determines his livelihood. So,
and conversely, lying to you is what helps keep a television executive in their job.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, right? it works. It's potentially,
I couldn't be truthful because if we did that, then I'd be out of a job.
Right, polar opposite. Because sometimes if it's someone of influence, you can't tell them that their show sucks. So you have to lie to them to keep your job.
That's right.
You know, so,
oh, my gosh. All right, we'll change the subject because I don't want you to get in trouble next time you walk in to pitch an idea. I saw what you said. Thomas Q. Jones here on the Rich Eisen Show. Do you know where you are on the all-time rushing list right now? Are you aware of that?
I think I'm 26 or 27.
You are. You are 26.
Okay.
Do you know who's right in front of you and who's right behind you on that list?
I think Tiki Barber is right behind me.
That is correct, by about 150 yards.
Okay.
And this other individual's in front of you by 16 yards. Ladies and gentlemen, guessing where he is on the all-time list.
Let's see. I know Ricky Waters in...
He's two in front of you. Oh, okay. By the way, I just saw him at Bryant Young's Hall of Fame
Hall
party.
Hall of Fame, okay.
Yeah, I just saw him there, yeah.
Incredible back. Yeah. I was a big fan of his, even Notre Dame, when he played at Notre Dame.
Big, too. Like, yeah. I mean, when I saw him, I forgot just how...
Yeah, I saw on Twitter he has, like, his own training company or something like that. I don't know. I saw something on Twitter. If it's not Ricky, it might be Jamal.
It is Jamal Lewis.
Yeah, J. Lou. Yeah.
It is exactly that.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10,000 rushing yards is no joke. As a matter of fact, only 31 people have played football in the NFL with that many yards. That's it.
Wow.
And you're one of them, man.
You know, it's so crazy. I retired 10 years ago.
10 years, huh?
2012 was my last game.
Right.
And because I'm just so engulfed in the business and in creating my own content and acting and everything that comes with that, I'm really far removed from the NFL. I only remember those names because the last time I checked was probably a few years ago. Those were the guys that were when Tiki was one spot behind me, Jamal and Ricky were a couple spots ahead of me. So that's the only thing, the only way I remember is from a few years ago. Well, but
it hasn't changed very much. As a matter of fact, we were just looking. There's not a single, with Adrian Peterson not expected to play this year, there is not a single active player in the top 50 all-time rushing yards list. Not a single one. I can't.
Yeah, Mark Ingram is 54 and Zeke is 58.
I can't imagine. Like, I got to look up that with the NFL Network research to find out the last time an NFL season kicked off without a single active player in the top 50 on the rushing list, all-time rushing list. That's probably been a minute since that's happened.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I when I retired, I was trying to figure out how do I, figure out what to do with my time.
Right.
Because, you know, my entire career was not necessarily chasing a rushing record, but you're consistently padding your stats. And you know, I'm thinking of 1,000-yard seasons. That's my goal every new year. That's my resolution is another 1,000-yard season. And so you don't even really think about the yards or the stats until when you're further removed from the game. And then you realize, like, why 10,000 yards is so significant. Because it's not just the yards. It's what you have to do to get that many yards. It's playing hurt. It's playing well, when you're losing, you know, I mean, I think I had maybe three seasons where one season we were 4-12, another season we were 5-11, and I still had over 1,000 yards, you know. So mentally, how do you come back after five-game losing stretch and still be motivated to run for over 100 yards? Obviously, your paycheck, but
no,
just
I know,
on the
knowing
field.
That there's a business decision for you to make in that hole if the hole is open for you.
Right. It just comes down to will. And desire and passion for the game, and that's why I respect anyone, obviously, that plays in the NFL. But as a running back, that milestone 10,000 yards says a lot more than just the actual yardage. It says a lot about you as a player and as a person.
And it also means Thomas Q. Jones here on the Rich Eisen Show, longevity as well. And it seems now that in the NFL, getting that, I guess, second contract as a running back is a significant achievement. The third is pretty much a rarity. Getting that third contract paid the way that you should be paid, because the concept that your best years are now behind you and the NFL doesn't really pay you for past performance unless you're somebody particularly quarterbacky.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, so, right, quarterback, yeah.
So you gotta take that into the equation too, because there's all these young kids coming out of college and the college offenses are you know, now married to the professional offenses and vice versa.
Right, yeah.
It seems like that's what's happening,
it's,
right?
It's hard. It's hard for running back to get even one contract now.
How many did you get?
My initial contract with the Cardinals. Then I signed a deal.
Were they the Phoenix Cardinals when you got them too?
They were Arizona.
They were okay.
They were in Phoenix, but okay. Arizona.
Got it.
In 2000. And then the Chicago Bears, I signed it, my second deal. And then I was traded to the Jets, and I signed my third deal.
Damn.
And then I was released by the Jets, and then I signed a two-year deal with the Chiefs. So during that time, a running back could get four deals potentially, and that was...
That's how you get 10,000 yards if
you're
good.
Yeah, but I think what helped me was early on in Arizona, I didn't have as many carries, so there wasn't as much wear and tear on my body. So by the time I ended up in Chicago, I think it was year five, I was just kind of coming into my own and starting to get, you know, 250, 300 carries a year. And then also the way I took care of my body. So by the time I ended up in New York, I think I was 29. Obviously, I was supposed to be done, but I continued to get better. I think in 2007, I had 1,100 yards. 2008, I had 1,300. It was a start in the Pro Bowl. 2009, I had 1,400. And it was kind of this weird thing. There were like a couple of articles about how is he, his numbers going up mm-hmm. with his age versus going backwards. And I felt like, honestly, I could have had more. You know, I think if I would have stayed in New York that last year, with the offensive line that we had and the chemistry we had with our offense, I think I might have been able to pull off another 1,400-1,500 yards.
Who is it? Thomas Q Jones here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who was in the Pro Bowl when you were there? Because this is in Hawaii, obviously. Yeah. Was that the old Iolani Hotel as well, like
yes.
back in the day?
Yeah.
Where everybody's staying in the same hotel and the yes. practice field was right next door and then the beach was right behind that. And
yes.
You didn't have to move.
Didn't have to move. And then the next year it was in Orlando. So I was happy that I was able to play there one of the last years because it's just the nostalgia of being in Hawaii, the Pro Bowl. That year, I think Chris Johnson, I don't think Chris played. I think he had an ankle injury. Marshawn Lynch, I think, was the alternate.
Mm-hmm.
So it was me, Marshawn, Leon Washington.
From the Jets?
Yeah, me and Leon both were in the Pro Bowl the same year.
No kidding.
I can't remember who the other back was.
So how big was your family that you had to bring?
Oh, I ended up having a party in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up flying about 50 people.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole thing about the Pro Bowl back in the day is that, you know, for the first three quarters.
Ronnie Brown was the other one too.
Yeah. So back in the day, you know, so the first three quarters, there wasn't a lot of action.
No.
Then the fourth quarter, everyone does the math about how much of a difference it is to win and lose this game and how much money you've spent on bringing your family and your friends out there, and you start doing the math, it's just like, I better win.
We have to win so we can get the bigger
even.
Check.
It's right.
Yeah, yeah.
The difference
no.
would be breaking even.
Yeah,
I
had a big party over there. I had Angie Martinez. That's when I had my music label as well. I had a music label while I was in the NFL, and so I was really good friends with a lot of different DJs, DJ Clue, Angie Martinez. She hosted the event. All the guys that were in the Pro Bowl came. It was, a lot of fun, and that was just a time that I wanted all my family and friends and people there. So it was worth it. But, you know, the first three quarters, like you said, in the Pro Bowl, at one point I was talking to my family on the sidelines.
Yeah, right.
And the fourth quarter, all of a sudden the energy just shifted and it went into playoff mode because guys are like competing like the last like 8 minutes of the fourth quarter. I think we lost. Peyton Manning was a quarterback. It's like, 14 years ago.
How many Pro Bowls did you make? Was that the only one?
That was the only one.
You didn't give out your room number to anybody, did you?
No.
Because you know what happens there, right? Back in the day, they put the veterans put their drinks and their food in your room. That's how I believe Sean Merriman once got like a $20,000 tab.
No, that wasn't going to happen to me. Especially
everyone
at that
put
time.
It on their room. Yeah. When the year Romo made it, Sean Payton was busting his stones in the and broke the huddle of an NFC practice with Romo's room number. That actually happened.
I can definitely see that happening. I mean, that essentially happened to me my rookie year. You know, I was a seventh overall pick, so I had, you know, in a little ways, some ways, I had to buy breakfast and all that stuff. So, I had a tab for the entire season, breakfast tab. So I know what that felt like.
A breakfast tab?
Yeah, it was a breakfast tab.
Were they putting filet mignons on it anyway? Just a little steak and eggs?
Well, sometimes. And then Thursday night, running back dinners. So I had a tab pretty much halfway. Every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday.
Any day that ends in Y, yes, pretty much. Yes, it sounds like yes. Thomas Q. Jones here on the Rich Eisen Show going back.
Jay Cutler, the other AFC quarterback.
Was that who? Jay Cutler was a quarterback?
Peyton Manning.
Yeah, AFC. Jay was a quarterback that season as well. I remember because I think I sat next to Jay on the bus going to practice one day, and it was one of the most awkward bus rides. I mean, we're just sitting there like next to each other, and I didn't say anything. It was like... And I expected, for some reason, I don't know, you know, I thought that we might have a conversation quarterback, running back, but mm-hmm. you know, I think I may have said hello or something. He said nothing to you? Maybe he was zone focused on the practice or something. I don't know.
But that's how
I remember Jay Cutler was on the team.
Oh, and Brett Favre made it.
Yeah, Brett made it. He didn't play, though.
Okay.
That was the Brett Jett season.
Yeah.
How did he make the Pro Bowl that season?
And Rich, looking at Thomas's stats your Jets in three seasons, 3,800 yards rushing, 28
serious
touchdowns.
Business. Serious.
13 and 14 touchdowns in back-to-back seasons.
You were one of my favorite Jets.
Man, crazy. Thank you. That was an incredible time for my career because I finally felt like I was in a place where – not only was I not necessarily wanted because I definitely felt wanted in Chicago, but you know, I felt like a veteran and I was allowed to like lead without any repercussions or
they gave you the ball.
Anything after
they gave you the ball. They're like, okay, you know? You are going to be the engine.
Wasn't like I had to, you know, constantly feel like there was someone behind me. You know, and obviously that's a part of the NFL. It's competition and that's great. You know, it makes you better. But I think there I felt like at ease, like, okay, this is my show, you know? And I think that's why I was able to perform at such a high level.
And get all the way to the Pro Bowl so you can have no conversation with Jay Cutler on the way to the stadium.
I think Jay was focused that day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good excuse. That's good. Thomas Q. Jones here on the Rich Eisen Show. So we had DK Metcalf on this program last week, 2 weeks ago?
Last week.
Last week.
He said he's taking acting lessons on off days.
That's great.
This is what he's doing during his playing time.
That's great.
What advice would you have for DK Metcalf? As somebody who's made a successful leap from the sport to entertainment, what do you got?
I would say take it serious. It's not an easy transition for an athlete that's a standout athlete. You know, there are a lot of athletes that have transitioned and made it in Hollywood and entertainment, but if you have a bigger name, a bigger brand, it's a little harder because people sometimes only see you as that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of guys that are actors that no one knew that they even played football until they mention it. But me, they know I played. So they're assuming I'm not taking this serious or they're assuming that I'm making a cameo appearance. So those were some of the struggles I went through in the beginning were just making sure that people know I'm serious. And that's why I added my middle initial to my stage name to kind of reinvent myself. Thomas Jones, the football player. Thomas Q. Jones, the actor. Mm-hmm. And it worked because a lot of times when I would be on a show, people wouldn't know that I was Thomas Jones, the former football player. They thought Thomas Q. Jones was a new actor. So by the time they realized it, they were like,
"What's the difference?"
A huge difference. Because after they saw me perform, they were like, "Wow, he's a good actor. That guy's a pretty good actor." And then they were like, "You know that's Thomas Jones from the Jets." What? It's too late. You've seen me act. You already believe that I know what I'm doing. You're taking me serious. Versus, oh, that's Thomas Jones. You know, he's making a cameo. And now, you know, I'm a respected actor. I've worked on a lot of projects with some great actors. Mm-hmm. The last project just the season finale was, I think it was last week, was P-Valley, Show on Stars. Mm-hmm. Really, really incredible show. And I like that role because I'm able to have this really Southern accent. I have gold teeth and playing this kind of like menacing street guy. But, you know, he's got good intentions. So it allows me to show my range because, you know, I'm a fan of actors. You know, I'm a fan of like real acting. I was in acting classes for 4 years straight, two different actor studios, 6 hours a week. So the advice I would have for DK is to actually take it serious, get in classes, and understand you want to earn the respect of the actors. That's what I had to do. And also when I moved, I said, how am I going to psychologically make myself care about acting? Because at any moment, I could just go home. I don't need this to pay my bills. It's not like I'm, you know, this is my was my dream. So when I moved to LA, I didn't bring my car. I rented a studio apartment. Because in my mind, I'm like, how do I think like an aspiring, hungry actor? I have to become that if I'm going to achieve or not achieve what they're trying to achieve, but hustle like they do. So I didn't move into Beverly Hills. I moved into a little small apartment in Hollywood. I didn't bring my car, so I had to walk everywhere. I had to reinvent the struggle as well. And it paid off because people started to respect me. They would see me walking in Hollywood, and they're like, that's Thomas Jones, but he's actually walking to where I'm walking. Like,
But they didn't know it was really Thomas Q. Jones who was walking the street.
Well, some people didn't even know that I played football. Because
well, that's great. That's your goal, right?
Yes, because they saw me with him. Because they didn't expect me to be hustling and grinding with them.
Yeah.
And I earned their respect. And so that's why I think I've been able to make so much progress in 8 years as an actor and now a producer because, you know, I've always been a humble person, but my humility allowed people to respect me and see me like them and not see them as Thomas Jones, a 10,000-yard rusher, played in the NFL 12 years, that whole thing. And that helped me a lot, you know, so... DK, yeah, I would definitely take it serious, get in classes.
Well, you know. Definitely sounds serious, but if he's going to take your route, he's going to have to really work hard at recreating the struggle because you just signed a $70 million contract. So there's that. But he did sound real serious about it, didn't he, guys? I mean, like he really sounded like he takes time to do it and he really wants to do it. He had like a little cameo and a movie playing, I believe, a softball coach, right? And in a Netflix film that's recently out. And I asked him what he wanted to do, like if he could wave a wand. He said, be in a buddy comedy with Kevin Hart, is what he said.
I mean, the thing about coming from the NFL, and I actually played with DK's father, Terrence Metcalf, in Chicago. So I played with his father years ago. Great, great guy.
You don't remember seeing DK around, did you?
No, I don't remember then. That was 2004, 2005, I think.
Okay, sure.
But no, I mean, in regards to like just me being able to like get people to take me seriously, you know, it really was a challenge because when people see DK Metcalf or they see Thomas Jones, they automatically think you can only do one thing. And... no matter what you do, they're going to see you as that, especially if you typecast. And so my team, my management, we focus on certain roles that give me an opportunity to play specific characters, things that aren't what you would expect all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Johnson is great because I'm playing a father that's going through a custody battle with his son and some marital issues with his wife. Johnson, by the way, is a show about four men living in Atlanta. We're all best friends. We've been best friends since we've been children, but we just so happen to have the same last name, Johnson.
Hmm.
And it's told from the black male POV. And it's literally showing black men in a more positive, influential light as opposed to kind of how we're usually shown in the media, which is, you know, most of the time negative. And all cultures have their positive and negative stereotypes. But a lot of times, you know, black men are shown more in a negative light. So the creator of the show, Deji LeRae, my producing partner, and I, we wanted to produce a show that showed the everyday, honest, ambitious black man that's emotionally intelligent, that's chasing his dreams, that's just dealing with life's conflicts like everyone else. Cedric the Entertainer is an executive producer on the show as well, and Eric Rohn, their partners with their company, Bird and the Bear Entertainment, and my company, Midnight Train Productions, and Deji's company, we partnered with Bounce TV. So, yeah, that's what that show is about. But that character... it gave me a chance to be an everyday dad and not Thomas Jones, the football player, but the conversations are what everyday dads go through. The conversations are what a man going through a custody battle or going through marital woes with his wife, that's what they talk about. So naturally, you'll see me in that role, and you don't see me as Thomas Jones. You see me as a father that's fighting for his marriage and fighting for his son. So the more grounded you can be and the more specific you can be as an actor coming from the NFL like me or DK, it helps your cause in regards to people respecting you as an actor.
Well, we'll pass this along to DK Metcalf. That's for darn sure.
Wish him all the best, man.
Yep.
And also, real quick, I would say this. Acting, it started off as something to do because I was really struggling to figure out what I was going to do next. And then it became therapy. My acting coach, Franz Turner, is one of the most influential people in my life. He showed me how to take all of the trauma and all of the things in my life and to compartmentalize those emotions and put them into the characters. And that became therapeutic because in football, you can't show vulnerability. You can't show weakness. That's how you get beat. And you're constantly taught, don't get beat. Don't get beat. Don't be weak. Don't be vulnerable. Don't show vulnerability. And then that becomes a part of who you are. And that takes a little bit of the humanity away from you, which is just not, that's not realistic on a day-to-day basis. The NFL is a very small percentage of people, and that environment is very unique. But in the world, everyone has feelings. They have emotions, regardless of whether you're a man, woman, whoever you are. But I was always bottling those things up. And because friends allowed me, through his technique and Ivana Chubbuck's technique, to put those emotions in my characters, I was able to find therapy in each different character that I played based off of the emotions that the character called for in the scene. So, yeah, it became therapeutic for me. So I would say any football player, if you retire, even if you don't want to become like a Hollywood actor, it would be good to maybe take some improv classes, some acting classes, just to help you kind of come back to humanity from playing in the NFL.
Fascinating, man. And then for you to, again, be so successful in the NFL, where you just described having to bottle your feelings, and now you're entering a profession where you need to utilize them and uncork them on demand, pretty much,
right,
for your benefit in a profession where you're typecast because of how successful you were in the previous one, which is so short that you're required to find out something else to do.
Right.
That you're successful at it is amazing, man.
Right.
And
right.
I send my congratulations as always to you.
Thank you.
On everything.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on here, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thomas Q. Jones, his show Johnson that he acts in and is the co-executive producer for. Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern on Bounce TV, Encores, the next day streaming on Brown Sugar. You're welcome here anytime, sir.
Thank you,
brother. Great to see you. Thomas Q. Jones and Thomas Jones together right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back with more in a moment. Look at that. Back here on the Terrestrial Radio Network, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Great chat right there with Thomas Q. Jones. Callaway invented Chrome Soft to be the best tour ball, period, folks. It didn't just have to make better, it hasn't just made the better players even better. It's made everyone better. It's made the best better. It's people like me better. I feel more confident standing over my Chrome Soft golf ball with the triple track technology. I just know if I hit it, I'm going to hit it far. And it was fun. I was playing the other day, and I said, you know, I'll make mention of this. Playing companion loses the ball. I said, just flip another one. And I flipped him a Chrome Soft with the triple track. He goes, oh, I like these balls. I'm like, okay, great. You can keep it. That's what I said.
We have a lot.
Well, that's not why I did it. Oh. That's because I'm a good guy.
Oh.
Even if it was my last such Chrome Soft, I would have given it because I'm that type of person.
How is that?
Wait a second.
Because Chrome Soft, hold on a minute, doesn't just make me a better player, it makes me a better person, Chris. Oh.
So as
that's
long as
how it works. Hold on. Let me finish this.
I'm trying to get in
they're the highest quality, most consistent, fastest golf balls possible. There is a type of Chrome Soft that is out there for your game. When you add it all up, it's so simple. Chrome Soft is better for the best and better for everyone. Find out which Chrome Soft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. Now you may have added
some. I was just like a better person, but you still close the elevator on any one of us.
So. Not any one of... Oh, any one of you?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I do it again for ladies and the elderly.
Yes.
But if there's any guy coming up to the...
The three of us, we're getting...
You know, if you're coming up... And, well, hold on a minute. And I'm going up to floor 10. Mm-hmm. And it's a 14-floor building, so I do the odds. Odds are you're going to make me wait to get off on your floor. I'll do the Larry David, like, oh, I'm trying so hard to hit the door open. Oh, I missed.
Well, we need you to carry a Chrome Soft everywhere you go, then.
Am I going to shoot people straight here?
How was that guy's hit after you flipped him the new ball? Striped it?
It was definitely operator error.
Yeah.
It was the craftsman. It was the craftsman. Not the tool.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Nice.
Fun show. I love Thomas Q. Jones, man.
He's great.
Let's go to Royce in Vermont. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. We got a couple minutes for Royce. What's up, sir?
Hey, Rich. Good to hear you again, man. Just want to tell you that when I call in, I'm going to do two things.
Yep.
One, I'm going to plug St. Jude. Two, I'm going to give you a Mount Rushmore of something.
Okay.
So first, thank you for what you do for St. Jude. It's amazing.
Appreciate
that. People, please give.
Thank you,
sir. It's amazing that these families get to focus on their children without having to worry about their bills mm-hmm. or anything. St. Jude's taking care
of. You said it perfectly, Royce.
I hope there's more.
You said it perfectly.
Here's my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, I have about 45 seconds for your Mount Rushmore, so I think about 12 seconds per face. What do you got?
All right, I'll give you my Mount Rushmore. Here's the logos. Number one, the Converse logo. Go back to the 50s and 60s. All you see these guys wearing are Chuck Taylors.
Okay.
And now they're amazing. Number two, the Jerry West
logo?
NBA logo.
Yep.
That should be changed. It's time to change it to Kobe. Number two, the Rich Eisen logo. Iconic.
Thank you.
It represents everything that you do.
Thank you.
The comedy, the
speed,
the giving.
Don't forget the speed.
Everything you do. And number one, of course, the Michael Jordan logo. Here's my comment. The Arizona Cardinals will win the Super Bowl because the last two teams in their home stadium have done
that's
so.
That's a TJ thing. I'm sorry I got to go, Royce, because we're at the end of it. How about that?
Thanks,
so Converse, the Jordan Jumpman, Kobe is the new NBA logo and the Rich Eisen Show running man. I would agree with all of those.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I don't hate that list.
Okay. That'll wrap it up on this Terrestrial Radio Network here for a busy, fun Tuesday. See you Wednesday. We're still here on YouTube.
The only problem with the Cardinals is they don't have a new quarterback.
So yeah, that was the
it's
one
home
thing.
Home stadium with a new quarterback.
Ah.
Yeah, that's where Chris kind of was in agreements with me, right. And then we figured that part out. So.
Right. What if a team with a new quarterback from the AFC plays the Cardinals in the Super Bowl? Because then you kind of got both things working. So
maybe.
Denver,
maybe.
Indy. Who else has a new quarterback in the AFC?
Jacksonville.
Yeah, because we're not counting last year.
We're not counting last year. That's a rookie. Yeah,
is that wrong?
Counts, but
is that wrong?
I'm sure he probably feels the same way.
Jacksonville's got a brand new quarterback, man.
Well, the Jets are going to have Joe Flacco.
Browns.
Or Mike White, you know.
Browns.
Yeah.
There you go.
Let's see who else.
Steelers.
There you okay. go. So those are your AFC teams.
Oh, boy.
To play the Cardinals in the Super Bowl.
Look at that face. Look at that smile. So let's finish up this show with a little bit of housekeeping. Our final poll results, Chris Brockman, I think you put up a couple of polls today, right? One about the straw drinking dude and then one about the Nets.
I did. Correct? So straw drinking dude.
Oh, the hot dog straw drinking
the guy
dude.
At the Yankees game last night drinking a beer through a hot dog. Good luck to Jay Felly and Smitch tonight for the recreation. Madman, 82%. Genius, 18%.
Oh,
yeah.
Kevin Durant.
So you had a strike a blow for the 18% tonight, brother.
Yes,
brother.
Sir.
Good luck. Now that Durant's back, how far does Brooklyn go next year? Lose in the NBA Finals, so to make it but not win, 2%. Win the title, 7%. Lose in the Eastern Conference Finals, 19%. Lose in the first or second round, 72%.
Okay. Oh, and one last item up for bids, just to review. RES Consulting, we're here for Artie Moreno,
yes.
Who's mulling a sale of the Angels, and I think he needs our help. As I said earlier, there's a lot of Angels fans that'll probably be like, don't let the door hit you on the you-know-what on the way out, Artie, even though he spent a lot of money. Not a lot of wins, and apparently some alienation.
Uh-oh.
Here's one Angel fan, happy to see it. They see him go. His name is Rod Carew.
Oh.
He retweeted the Angels press release about Moreno thinking of selling the team. Well, this is happy news. I have renewed hope that my relationship with the At Angels organization can be fully restored.
Wow.
What? Who is more of a sweet wow. human being on planet Earth? Who is more of a gentle, sweet human being on planet Earth than Rod Carew. If you've pissed off Rod Carew, right. You've really done something.
I don't even know what the story is, and I'm on Rod Carew's side. I don't even know what's going
right?
on.
If you've alienated Rod Carew, you've really done some work. Really? Are you Googling, like, what the history might be here?
I was looking up how old he is. He's 76.
Meaning what? Like, how long the grudge is? Moreno's been around 20 years, so maybe that's how long it is. So you sell the team, and I tell you, like, bring back the Autry uniforms and the Autry way of doing business. And I know that didn't lead to a lot of success. But you bring back Rod Carew, right? Let him throw out the first pitch. I'm Everybody's wearing the old Carew. Brian Downing uniforms, right? The Don Baylor uniforms. Let's go.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.